Hello, and welcome back to the Train Smart, Run Strong podcast. I'm your co-host, Victoria, here with my running friend, Treg. How you doing, Treg? What's going on?
Hey, Vicky. Happy Thursday evening.
Yeah, Thursday evening. What a time to record. I also just realized I introduced myself as Victoria, and I'm not sure that I want that to be my podcast name on here, so I'm really happy that you corrected me.
Yeah, I was like, who's Victoria? Yeah, who is she? Victoria?
It's one of those weird things where it's like, Victoria sounds so formal, and yet sometimes I still use it because a lot of the times it's like, yeah, you know, when I'm in my career and talking to clients, it sounds more professional. But then it's weird because my career is very, like, as a coach, just informal too. So then all of my clients end up calling me Vicky too. Whatever we want to do, you know, I guess Vicky's the way to go.
Yeah. Well, it's like Vicky's the next level unlocked, you know, it's like level one, Victoria. Actually, no, level one, Dr. Sakelly.
No, if you're listening to this, call me Vicky, please.
So you're all on at least level two, level three is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, 100%. I give you all, if you ever DM me, just say Vicky. Let's not go through the formalities. But yeah, how's your week been? Or the last couple of days? Because I saw you on Monday. We'll be getting into that. But give me an update. I'm assuming very kind of boring, nonchalant, still resting those marathon legs.
Well, yeah. So I was going to say, I saw you this week for a non, like, run activity, which yeah, we'll get into, which was awesome. And I'm still sore from
still literally but, still sore.
But I actually did start running again this week.
Woo! How'd it go?
Yeah, little by little. It went really well. Actually, I was very pleasantly surprised.
Amazing.
The last time I, you know, came back from running was actually after I was sick with the flu. I had COVID and then the flu. At the top, beginning of the year. Well, like, just late December through, and then, like, the flu in mid-January. And the first run I did after that, I was like, what are my legs doing? I can't remember how to do this. And that was like, a few days off. And actually, yeah, this felt better than that. So
that's,
I was
amazing,
sort of like chuckling to myself that was the case.
So we can basically say that running a marathon isn't as hard as getting COVID and the flu back to back, which I would assume.
Yeah. So it felt good. I've run 2 days thus far this week. I will run a few more. Mileage is pretty tempered, you know, quite tempered relative to what I was doing, you know, lead up to the marathon. But
yeah,
we are starting to build it back, you know, starting next week. No workouts yet. All just easy runs. I'll have some strides next week, but again, like, no workouts. Although, you know, Nick might, well, we'll probably listen to this. I don't have anything programmed after the next week. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like we'll probably sneak a couple in there. But this is actually a good way to kind of talk about, like, if you just ran a marathon or you just ran a big race, kind of how to take some time off, give yourself a second, and then slowly start to scale back up again. I feel like that's actually a really important conversation I have with a lot of my clients. Like, what we see on social media, it feels like people just go from race to race to race to training block to training block to training block without any time in between. And I think this is a really good reminder that, like, the vast majority of us who do run, like, big marathons, and especially in your case, got a PR and you're very happy with it. Like, you took one full complete week off. You are not rushing back into training. You're still taking your time. And I think that's so important because that kind of, like, seasonality, is that a word? Seasonality?
Yeah, that's a word.
thanks. My dictionary, Treg. That type of kind of, like, up and down and not constant pushing is so important and honestly really good for injury prevention as well. So I just wanted to put that little tidbit out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some folks who can, you know, go block after block and race after race, and that's awesome. Good for them. It's not me.
It's not me.
So
It's which, not a lot of people, I have to say. And it's not even the professionals. Like, they don't even go block to block to block. So I would definitely question those who, like, don't take that time. But I also have to say that this kind of goes for anyone who's not racing too. And I think that's sometimes harder to remember. Like, people who have a race on your calendar, you almost like have this perfect timing where you are in a training block, you're doing hard workouts, you're ramping up, you're doing all of that good stuff. And then you run your race and you're like, okay, now's a good time period for me to take some rest. But then what about if you don't have that? Like, do you just expect to show up every single day all the time? And I think that's where it becomes harder. And I would still probably recommend it for any athletes, any runners who are like, well, I don't even have a race on my calendar. I'm just kind of running every day or doing workouts the majority of the time without any ups and downs. I think it's still important to have that kind of different types of seasons. Like, maybe take a season where you focus more on strength or focus more on different types of workouts, more speed, more mileage, and then scaling back and then ramping up again. It's the best way to prevent injuries, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it keeps things interesting too. Don't get me wrong, I love running and just going out and running and running. But I think part of the reason for that is I've had these, let's call it down periods or down weeks.
Totally.
Even in a block, I have down weeks. It's like we have 3 weeks on, 1 week down.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll vary from person to person. But even then, it's sort of like, okay, like, that's how I can break it up. That's what's worked to, you know, keep me healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Not from a COVID and flu perspective, but
that was kind of crazy. But I also think this is kind of a good segue into our first talking point, because remember the conversation we had with the Olympian? She kind of said the same thing. But let's say what we did earlier this week. Treg and I hung out and tried to complete a full workout with a literal Olympian. She is currently, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, currently like the world number one cross country skier. It's just insane to me to even say these words, and to like say that we did a workout with her is unreal. Like, to this day, it's kind of crazy that we even did that. I mean, we like were barely hanging on for dear life, but she put together a workout for like a class that Solomon put together for us. And it was really hard, but a conversation that Treg and I did have with her, we were kind of chatting with her after the class. She very much said like right now is kind of not off season, but she's starting to slowly, you know, do some workouts, have fun with her strength training. And then I think she mentioned May 1st is when she's going to start a more legit training block again, and then slowly become more sports specific. And it's just such a good reminder that the professionals, the literal professionals, the top of their field are not constantly training. And of course, for her, it's a little different because she's a cross country skier and she's in, you know, New York right now for a trip. And obviously, there's not much skiing that we can do, but she is purposefully not. So that's just, I found that as a good segue because of the conversation that we had with her as well.
Yeah. And I think that kind of goes back to the concept of rest is part of training, or, you know, otherwise dialing back or modifying what you're doing. That is training, not totally. Training is part of training. And I think, you know, that's maybe a piece that is missing sometimes. And
yeah,
you have to look at the whole picture and not just what you're, you know, that one day or
100%
week or whatever. On that note, I couldn't stand up. So I was like totally fine. I'm totally a 2 days after Dom's person. And this has like reaffirmed that, because so that was Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I'm like, oh, I actually feel fine. Like, mm-hmm. I feel a little tight. Fine. Yesterday, I stood up. I went for my run. Or not yesterday. Yes, yesterday. I went for my run in the morning. Was fine. I was like, huh, my abs are a little more sore than I would have thought. But like, okay. Later in the day, I stood up from my chair and I couldn't stand up straight. Because I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I looked at myself. I like caught myself in the reflection. I was like, this is... And like, it's better
was
now.
Was it all your abs?
It's only my abs.
It's everything so else funny because that's the exact same with me. I literally, like, I can still feel my abs, like, getting up and down, like, sitting out of a chair. Like, and I swear it was that one exercise that we, like, you know, you had to hold a weight and then, like, basically crunch up.
V-ups.
That crushed me. And I was using a 5-pound weight, and she demonstrated it with 25 pounds.
Oh my gosh, did she? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here I was.
We got crushed.
Thinking like, oh, I do core work in my lifting. I do like direct, indirect, all this stuff, like blah, blah. No. I mean, yes, but also no. Like,
not enough. No, we were humbled. We were humbled very quickly, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, that's okay. We still showed up. I think, especially for us, you had just run a marathon a week prior. I had literally gone for a run and done my strength workout that morning, just because I have to film my strength workouts on the day that I can. So I literally did run, strength, and then went to another strength workout, which was incredibly challenging. But we did what we could, and you know what? We had a blast. I had a lot of fun. So
we did all the things. Like, we did every station twice.
You're right. We did. We showed up.
Vicky's like, we didn't. I'm like, no, we made it through, and we did. We did it. We did it, which is why I'm sore.
I was kind of cheating a little bit. Like, I wasn't, like, in the Bulgarian split squat, I wasn't bending down all the way because my legs couldn't take
I was going to say, to be fair, you already did your legit workout. Right. I was like,
I'm not trying to hurt myself.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, this will be a good reintroduction to, like, moving my body. And then, like, we're 30 seconds into the warm up. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can't do jumping jacks this way anymore. And, like, I guess I could, but it wasn't the most graceful, for sure. I'm glad you did not catch that on camera for my sake.
Yeah, no, I think I just caught us on the assault bike, and that was entertaining enough. Honestly, the assault bike was the best because mine was on, like, a very, I don't know if there's even resistance on there, but mine didn't have much resistance, and I was just kind of pedaling along, and, like, the fan was hitting my face, and I was like, this is lovely. It's like a ride on the countryside.
I was going to say, I really liked the fan because it got pretty warm in there. I think just, like, so, you know, there were a good amount of us and we're all, like, working out, so it gets warm. I will say, like, huge shout out to that gym, though. It was a very cool space.
That gym was, what was it called?
Bodied Fitness
in Chelsea. It was a fantastic space. Yeah, huge shout out. We're not getting paid to say this. It was a really, really a good spot. If I lived closer, I would probably go there because it seemed fun. Yeah.
Oh, it seemed really fun. The people were so nice and uplifting, fun music. It was a good vibe.
It totally was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all in all, definitely still starstruck. Definitely still absore.
Yeah. So the Olympian we hung out with, her name is Jessie Diggins. And I posted about that, hanging for a little bit. We kept that. If you know, you know. I mean, some people might not know, but she's really cool. Like,
she's so cool.
She was so nice, so friendly. Like, Treg and I were, at least I was, like, a little bit starstruck, and she seemed, like, very chill, like, wanting to talk to us, very easy conversation, happy to chat about everything, and, like, to think that she is number one cross-country skier in the world, and we were just having a casual conversation with her, is freaking awesome. And kudos to her. Like, she's a cool person, and she's clearly very incredible at her sport. So big fan, even bigger fan than I was before.
Yeah, I just want to read directly from our text messages.
Oh my god. Pull up the script. So
Monday at 6:27 p.m. after we had left, I text Vicky, quote, I am still starstruck. Vicky says, quote, literally same. I say, quote,
wow, so verbose.
In two separate texts, like, did that just happen? Did Jessie Diggins just shake my hand?
I gave her a hug.
Oh my god, okay, you win.
I feel like I kind of forced it upon her, but I felt weird shaking her hand. Like, I'm not a handshaker. We were in a bar at that point.
Yeah, and then one additional text from yesterday at 6:22 p.m. out of the blue, this is no, I just start the conversation. We weren't chatting before. Yeah. I say, also, I know that Cora is involved in everything, but this has been a wild reminder. I bent over to untie my shoes and could barely do that because of my core.
What did I say to that? I was probably like either laughing or you're good. You're good.
You did, ha ha, the I could barely do that because of my core, yeah. Which same. And you said literally that dumbbell sit-up thing was the hardest exercise.
It was. It was the V-ups. Yeah. Also, I need to stop saying literally as much as I do. That's just a side note for me. Should put that
literally
in my teleprompter. Anyway.
We have
a solid episode for you guys today. We have a couple topics that we want to touch on. I'm not sure if we're going to get through it all today, but we want to get started really with a conversation about Boston. A little heavy, I guess, but, you know, kind of has to be said, especially with everything going on after the Boston Marathon. I was having a lot of conversations with my athletes this week. I guess I want to start by saying this. Boston has a huge history. Isn't it the first? It's the first like world major marathon that was hosted. I don't know what the exact facts. Insane history to it, which we can't forget about. But I feel like because of Boston, there has been so much conversation around elitism in our sport. And especially this week, I was having a lot of conversations because of someone who ran Boston, and he finished at 6 hours and 25 minutes and was given his, I believe, Boston medal, but was not given an acknowledgement of finishing the six major marathons, which, if you know the world of running, that is something that a lot of people are trying to do. It's definitely something that we, I would be interested in doing one day. I'm not sure that it's my number one goal, but it would be really cool to run all six world majors, and something that a lot of people, it's their goal for a long time. And I understand that it says, you know, you're only considered a finisher if you finish under 6 hours. I call bullshit.
I was like, what are you talking
about? Almost it.
You guys can't see Vicky's face, but I can when we record this. And I was like, oh, she's gonna.
No, look, I understand the other side to this argument. And I think the good part about having a podcast is we don't have to talk about that. No, I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. No, I think it actually makes it interesting to talk about both sides of it. I had a couple conversations in my DMs. You know, someone said, well, it gives him a chance to come back and do it next time. And it creates this competition, and healthy competition is good. And I understand that side. And I think that for a lot of things, I agree with that. I agree. I'm not against healthy competition. But when we're talking about something that is literally about finishing the six world majors, you cannot convince me that just because some rule says that a finisher is only someone who finishes under 6 hours, that someone who runs 6 hours and 25 minutes, heck, 7 hours or even 8 hours, doesn't get swept off the course and runs across the finish line and gets a medal is not a finisher. I'm sorry, but that is just, yes, I think that there should be competitions when it comes to winning marathons, when it comes to the Olympics, when it comes to the professional field. I think that's amazing. I don't think everyone should get a number one medal when they run across the course. But in this case, I just think that rules should be changed. Treg, tell me what you think.
No, I think you and I are very much so aligned on the premise of if you've finished all six of these marathons,
right,
then
finished
you...
in any time. And I understand marathons have to have like a certain amount of time that you can be out there on the course. I mean, I understand it to a point. Like, I think that running is getting more popular And I do believe there is a place for everyone in every race. Yeah. And I think we have to consider a couple things. Like, first of all, the people who are going to be finishing probably back of the pack are not starting at the earlier hours. And we know for Boston's case, at least, it was a hot day. So is that really fair? Like, is that, and I'm not sure how to really fix that, because you can't really put people who are going to finish a marathon in 6 hours, like, ahead of someone who's going to finish a marathon in 3 hours. It just creates a lot of, it's honestly unsafe, because then you have people running around each other. You create a lot of like chaos in that sense. But I don't know. I think that if he didn't get swept off the course and he crossed that finish line, that to me is, that's a finisher right there in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing also to clarify when we have this discussion, and you alluded to this, is we don't necessarily have the solutions, right? And it's not
so
an
true. And it's not up to us to have them.
No, but it's not an easy fix. But I think that's why it's important to have these conversations.
Totally.
Because to your point, running is for everyone. And so people need to be able to voice their opinions on that. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I have full confidence that to the extent concerns are heard, that changes can eventually be made. But without voicing those concerns, without having that dialogue, without communicating with the folks who are able to make those changes, you can't make, you know, it's
completely
very
agree.
Difficult to otherwise make those changes. So
completely agree.
It's important to have the conversation, and just to, like, go back to sort of where I stand on this again. Yes, you finished. That counts in my eyes. And, you know, there's an argument people say, well, if you say it counts in your eyes, then, like, why does it matter if they get a medal or not? And it's because you're allowed to also want the hardware to show your accomplishment. And you're also allowed to want your name on the wall. But it's also like that official recognition.
Totally.
And it's kind of intangible. And, you know, I can't quite, like, think of the ways to phrase it. But, like, getting that, like, actual, like, acknowledgement is hugely important. And it doesn't make it more or less of an accomplishment to have run all six marathons without it. But,
totally.
But it is an important thing. And I guess also where I stand on it is, like, let's call it, maybe the solution is extending the time. I don't know. But let's say that's what it is for the purposes of this argument. That doesn't make it less competitive or less prestigious for folks who then finish it. Let's call it, like, a, you know, who run a faster time.
Totally.
It's, you know,
take away from that.
It can both be a very, like, fast thing for folks, and it can also be a variable thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so yeah, that's where I stand on it. I think it's tough. I'm of the belief that all runners, it's tough to hear and to see, because I believe all runners are runners. You finished that marathon, you crossed the finish line, like, you did it. Like, it's pretty simple. You did it.
I also think that it kind of goes back to the conversation of, like, what do we want in this sport? Do we want people to feel, like, left out from it? You know what I mean? And I know for myself, that is absolutely not the direction that I want to take the sport of running. I think we've had enough of that. I think we have learned from that. I think we can continue to learn from it, and we can continue to make better choices. And for anyone listening who's thinking, well, we can't just give everyone a participation trophy, it's like, that's not the conversation that we're having. We're not taking away the competitive edge of this sport. We're literally not doing anything to take away the competition factor that you're striving for, about you getting faster and stronger. We're just allowing people who maybe have never been able to feel like they're a part of this sport to start to feel like they are. And I think that's super important in this space. And that's why I think it's important for us to have these conversations. And I think a lot of this conversation too comes back to the BQ and, like, that type of stuff, which has, you know, created a lot of anxiety for me just in my running. And I think, is sitting here, if you were to ask me, like, would I want the BQ to be taken away? I don't think the answer to that is, like, I think I actually like having that competition. But if you were to ask me, hey, what if we had the BQ and a lottery system and charity and sponsored bibs? I would say, yeah, have it all. That doesn't take away from me striving for a BQ. Like, it literally does not take that away at all for me. So I think that's really it. It's like, I want everyone to have equal opportunity for these types of circumstances. And that does not take away from me wanting to better myself as a runner. And if that does to you, I think you got to rethink it. Like, what does someone not getting their 6-star finisher medal have to do with you? Like, literally nothing. Literally nothing. So that's my 2 cents. Anything else to add?
No. Like, as you, I'm like, yeah, nope, agreed. I'm like, you can't, again, yeah, you can't see us. I'm nodding along. I'm like, yeah.
Soundboard back and forth from each other. But I don't know. I think it's another conversation, and it's something that we probably would have had even last year, a couple months ago, when the whole like Tracksmith situation happened. I was really loud about that on my Instagram story. And I'm still, you know, I still have a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to Tracksmith. Am I like angry? You could see my Tracksmith, or you can't see, but I have the Tracksmith poster behind me. Yeah. In my, like, you know, both can be the same. I can still be, you know, irritated at what happened with that situation, and also not letting it kind of take space in my mind, you know? So
yeah,
that's where I'm at. Anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think like maybe a conversation for a future, and maybe we can get a guest on to speak on this, but
yeah,
this has really started to get me thinking about access to running and access to races. Because let's be like, you know, you hear the old adage, running's great because all you need is a pair of shoes. And to some extent, that's true. But then if you really dig into that, how much do the shoes cost?
I was going to say, let's even start there. How much are the shoes? A ridiculous amount now.
Yeah. And like, what are you going to wear?
Right.
Are you going to invest in some sort of watch? And by the way, you don't have to. No. Like, but these are, but just like using common examples, if you want to race, there's an entry fee.
Yep.
If you are traveling to a race, there's a lodging, transportation, and like eating fee. Like if you want to go out versus a grocery store or what have you, like there are all these, like beyond qualifying for a race, like let's say that's the path you take. Mm-hmm. There are so many other costs. Having the time to travel as well, having the time to train, and you know, being able to do all of that is a huge huge privilege.
Yeah.
And you know, we are so lucky to be able to do that. But that's something that also is like comes to mind when we talk about these races and things like 6-star finishers and whatnot. And just that question of like equity and access in our sport is hugely mm-hmm. important. And I think with running gaining as much popularity as it has, and I'm totally part of that wave, right? Like I started in 2020-ish. Like we have a real opportunity to shape the future of the sport. And so that's why, again, like I think it's just so, I've really welcomed the opportunity to have these conversations with people who have more experience with the sport than I do, with people who are newer to the sport, with people who have different experiences, because those opinions are valuable and we all have something to learn. So yeah. I encourage everyone to learn, listen, have these conversations. They can be uncomfortable.
Still important.
But still important.
I also think this kind of brings up something that we don't have. Treg and I have a little like Google Doc open with talking points. We don't have this as a talking point, but I don't know if you saw this, Treg. Did you see New York Roadrunners is suing NYC Runs for the name of Brooklyn Half?
Yeah, I actually heard about that. A friend of mine told me, and we were all just like, excuse me.
Okay, so I'm interested in your thoughts because here's my take right now. And I think I'm a little salty as someone who is still paying for their New York Roadrunners membership, which considering not doing anymore, as someone who is celebrating that more people are coming into this sport, to have something like an organization like New York Roadrunners, which basically, aside from New York NYC Runs, which is another organization, basically has a monopoly on New York City running and road running in Manhattan and the boroughs. I'm getting a little irritated by New York Roadrunners in general and everything that they're doing. Like, they literally do not have to sue NYC Runs for the name Brooklyn Half. Like, I don't think – I saw a TikTok on this and I totally agree with it. Like, I don't think that the name Brooklyn Half is – first of all, New York Roadrunner has sponsorships for this. Like, they had the Airbnb sponsorship. I don't know what it is this year. I don't remember. But, like, we know which one we're talking about simply by asking, oh, you're running Brooklyn Half? Okay, which one? Like, it doesn't have to go deeper than that. And I think that they just are – they have this, like, weird – desire to be like the only Brooklyn Half, the only NYC Marathon, the only place that anyone can run races in New York. And yet we can't run them because they're always sold out. And I think it's becoming a huge problem. What do you think?
Yeah. So, okay. Couple of thoughts on this.
Let's get into it.
I was in the interim, I was just like Googling yeah. the some information about
Good.
The case. So the complaint was filed earlier this year in February. And I think, you know, just skimming this here, and you guys can Google for yourselves, but the complaint, in addition to saying, you know, they've used the name Brooklyn Half Marathon, is that there's some confusion amongst runners. And so some folks have unintentionally registered for the wrong event. Interesting. I'm not saying that makes it legit, but this is me just learning new things live and like sharing them. Yeah. So cool. Google things. Anyway, back to my thoughts on this. My impression is they're both pretty popular races. Yeah. And also like the NYRR Brooklyn Half still sells out and whatnot. But with respect to access to races, it's been challenging because – so I don't know if it's like a 9+1 thing.
With Brooklyn
Half? 9+1 – no. Just I'm going to like races in general.
Yeah.
I like 9+1. I did 9+1 to get into the marathon 1 year. And it was great. Now, I don't know if it's 9+1 runners or what it is, but these races New York Roadrunners puts on sell out really quickly. And I understand there's a cap and like there are only so many people, especially because a lot of them are run in Central Park.
Right.
Like there are only so many people they can accommodate.
Yeah.
And like totally get that. That's out of, you know, their control. So I wonder if there are, but basically what this has resulted in is like people have to decide if they want to run a 5K like 6 months in advance. I know this has been an issue, particularly for teams who are concerned with getting team points for being able to register for certain races, et cetera. So I guess like my thoughts are there are probably some further steps that can be taken to address this. So I'm thinking of like bib transfers. So let's say you know, like, for instance, I have signed up for a race that I now know I can't do.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to give that bib to I'm not going to, because if I give my bib to someone else and New York Roadrunners realizes it, I will be...
You get penalized.
I get penalized. And yeah. I think that person also gets penalized.
Ridiculous.
So I would, you know, I would very much so welcome some sort of bib transfer. I would also... think about maybe with 9+1 being as popular as it is, which is awesome. Maybe think about doing some sort of lottery within that realm. I've talked to a few other people, so I will say it's like not my idea, but I've heard this being kicked around that like you can do 9+1 and then enter a specific lottery for the marathon, or you enter a lottery in order to participate in 9+1. And agree, like, you know, I think what, or you say, X amount of participants in this race are eligible for 9+1. Like, I don't know. Again, I don't have a solution, but I think you know, there has to be a way of thinking about how to continue to make these accessible to people.
I feel like my thoughts on it are a little like different. I see, my whole thing with the 9+1 is I kind of like that they have that opportunity for anyone who lives in New York or is able to travel to New York, whatever it is, to get the 9+1. I don't necessarily think that that's the problem. I think what it is just like for anyone who is outside 9+1, like we got to start having more races in general. Because someone who is like not even interested in signing up for 9+1, I can't even get a race on the calendar general because they're all sold out.
But V, what I'm saying is I think they're sold out because people are doing 9+1.
So my response to that is have more races that aren't eligible for 9+1. That comes back to the monopoly thing where it's like, let something like New York City Runs, like don't sue New York City Runs. New York City Runs is actually really good for the running community because they host different types of races and like it's not a part of 9+1. Like why can't New York City Runs have their own New York City Marathon? And I understand, obviously, it's hard to close down the streets of New York City, you know, more than once a year. I get it. And all with the whole Staten Island, you know, bridge scandal now that runners are going to have to start paying for that or something ridiculous.
She is joking. We do not have to pay for that. It's settled.
It's settled? Oh, what'd they say?
Yeah, I think it's just a non-issue now.
Okay, good. But yeah. I understand that it's hard, but like it is very obvious that the sport of running is way more popular than it was even pre-pandemic. Like that is something that is something that we're going to have to deal with. And it's probably something that many people in many different parts of the country and many different countries in general are starting to recognize. So something like the hold that New York Roadrunners has on New York City races just to me feels a little wrong. Like we should have many options, many different things. I'm not going to start my own like race series because that sounds like a lot of work. But I don't know. I just don't think we should be battling. The two clubs should not be battling. And like just let New York City Runs live and survive because you got enough. You got enough. Or put on more races. Like, I don't know.
And I do want to shout out a couple of other orgs that do great races. First, there's East in River Manhattan. 5000.
There's like there's the Midnight one too.
Oh well, I'm like sanctioned races. I will start with. all those other ones are great too. I've done Take the Bridge. I've done that. That's great. But like to the extent you're looking for, so East River 5000 is a great organization. I did a duathlon.
Fun.
Through a group, I'm trying to Google the name. I think it's NY Tri, but you know, orgs like that also will do running specific things. So what I will say is like, it might not be as obvious or as like popular per se, but there are other options out there. It just, you do have to look a little harder to find them, but I agree. I think, you know, I mean, I'm guessing the barriers to entry are pretty high as well, like getting permitting, you know, and getting volunteers and resources.
It's not easy.
So, you know, shout out to everyone who does, you know, put on these races across the board. Thank you so much for that. And because we love them so much, we would like more of them.
Yeah. Period. That is all we have spoken. I love how we've come up with like we've brought up two issues with no solutions to them.
No solution.
We're just here. Yeah, we just like to know. I'm kidding. So we had something else that we want to talk about today, but I don't think we're going to have the time. We will probably talk about it in our next podcast, which is we wanted to bring up what coming back from an injury, like how hard it is to come back from an injury, how real like post-injury PTSD is. And I think that will make for an amazing conversation. But I don't think we have time today, so we'll save it for our next podcast. I think we should get right into trivia. It's trivia hour, folks.
It's trivia hour. Won't take the full hour.
Yeah. I'm hungry. I'm ready for dinner. So yeah. I'll take a full hour.
So let me just say, I don't know if this is going to be a regular segment. However, the reason we're doing it today is because our dearest Vicky, not Victoria, Sigali's birthday.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. But Vicky's birthday is coming up early next week.
Sure is.
And so I thought it would be fun to ask her some questions. There are a mix of things she's thought, you know, reflections on the year, some random history facts.
Love
it. And then also a couple running specific ones. She has not seen any of these. I refuse to put them in the Google Docs, so they're sitting in an unsent email to myself.
I'm nervous. So,
Don't be too nervous.
Okay, great.
They're nice. They're great. Nice. So Vicky, I'll give you the option. We're gonna finish with the running ones. So I'll give you the option. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with famous birthdays, events on this day, or the reflection questions?
I'm gonna get all these wrong. I don't know a single other person who has the same birthday as me.
Yeah, but I do because of Google.
Oh, amazing. Okay, let's start with that.
Okay, so since you started by saying that you don't know anyone who has your birthday, I'm going to give you hints to three people.
Great. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, and your birthday is April 30th.
April 30th is my birthday. Yes, correct.
Okay, excellent. Let's start with the first one. This rapper has songs. Yes.
Okay.
Has songs such as, oh wait, no. His birthday is not yours the same. Okay, never mind.
What is this I'll research do another rapper. You've done? Okay.
I'll do another rapper. This yeah. rapper was once associated with Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner. Tyga.
Not Tyga.
Travis Scott.
Ding, ding, ding.
Was she associated with Tyga or did I make that up?
No, she was.
Okay. Amazing. Wow. Yeah, ask me Kardashian questions. I can get that.
Okay, I'm going to have to like go pretty deep if I'm going to connect these people to the
I'm sure there's a connection that could be made. All right, next one. Now I'm rolling. I got the first one right. We got this.
You got the first one right eventually. Okay. This actress has starred in films such as Bring It On and I believe Spider-Man.
Okay, fun fact, I don't remember people's names. Bring It On.
Okay.
Look, it's so long ago.
She's also starring in the upcoming film Civil War.
What does her first name start with? What letter?
K.
No idea.
I feel like our listeners are probably screaming right
They're
now.
Probably like, wait, what's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
No, would never have gotten that.
What? Oh my God. If you saw her, you absolutely would.
I probably would. I'm much better with faces.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I do a third person? I have to decide who I can describe at it. I will say, like, it's not the most famous people, at least in terms of my.
Yeah. And by the way, I remain. Yeah, go ahead.
I got really thrown for a loop because I'll do this one last one, and then I'll explain why I was thrown for a loop. Are you familiar with the TV show Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
Okay. This actor plays the role of one of the characters in that show. He played Leonard Hofstadter.
Leonard. Which one's Leonard? Is Leonard the main guy?
No, that's Sheldon.
Is Leonard the really smart nerd guy?
I think that's all of them.
No, the super smart one. Like the tall one?
He wears glasses. No, the tall one's Sheldon.
Who's the main guy?
Sheldon is the main guy.
What?
Okay, fine. Johnny Galecki. Johnny Galecki.
I've never heard that name in my whole
life. Okay, well, you've heard it here now. Okay, I'm going to move right along. To
Yeah,
two events. Move. So
okay, great.
According to AP News, on this date, i.e. April 30th, what president took oath of office in New York as, and here's a hint, the first president of the United States?
George Washington.
Yay!
I was so worried because I was like, Trang, I'm Canadian. I didn't learn this history. But I almost said something about the Declaration of Independence, which was that in 1789?
Don't think so. I actually think
Georgetown University was founded in 1789.
That could very well.
And I would know that because my alma mater. Can you do a quick
search? When was Georgetown founded?
And if I get this wrong, I'm leaving.
No, you're correct. January 23rd.
So. All right, so I'm not as dumb as I sound, but let's continue. Okay.
In the interest of time and also lack of facts that I could find, we're going to move to...
Not much happened on April 30th.
No. Although coming up on 33 years ago, you graced us with your presence, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, okay, I'm going to turn then to sort of the more reflective ones, and I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Alex, who you've met, because we were on a run one time, and she actually asked these questions of a friend of ours, and I thought they were really interesting questions and got me thinking. So there are three of them. We can try to keep it pretty condensed, but I think these are good food for thought.
I love it. Yeah.
For the first one. Reflecting on the past year, what is one moment where you learned the most about yourself?
Okay. Maybe I'm biased because I'm on this podcast and we're like, you know, talking about running. And I think two moments that had to do with running made me reflect most on myself. Number one was finishing the Chicago Marathon. And number two was... I feel like number one, it mainly because I did like a race recap and it really had me reflecting. So I was almost like forced to reflect on everything leading up to that. But number two was the panic attack I had a couple weeks ago. Really caused me to reflect and think about how did I get here? What's been going on really kind of makes you think deeper. And both of those moments happen to be running related. So, yeah, that's my answer.
Thanks for sharing those. Yeah. Second question. When you are, I have to do math, 73 years old.
Okay.
What will you remember when someone asks you what it was like to be 32 years old? So this past year, years old.
I'm going to be like... What?
So you're not going to remember?
No, a lot of things happened at 32. 32, we bought a house. We moved from New York to New Jersey. We have a backyard for the boy, which is huge. Those were the big moments, I think, of 32.
So would you say it's like, if someone asks you what that year was like, it's like a year of change or... New beginnings.
Yeah, year of change. I feel like we're still kind of in change, but yeah, year of change and year of transitions, I would say, for sure.
Awesome. All right, the third one. What skill do you want to learn during this upcoming year?
Skill that I want to learn this upcoming year, I think, honestly, horseback riding. I know I've mentioned it to you before. For those of you who don't know, Trang is a horse gal, and I said this to you, I think last year for my birthday, I wanted to go horseback riding, and it still stands, even though we have not gone. I still want to go. Trang, when are you taking me?
I'm officially like on the record for two things here. The first is the New York City Marathon trip, and this is the second item is horseback riding.
We're not friends. We are not friends. We're literally acquaintances.
Yeah, this is a podcast between two acquaintances.
Two acquaintances, exactly. That is officially going to be today's podcast episode name. Anyways, any other questions you got?
Yes, I have four ones about running. The first three are pretty quick fire, so I'll get going.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the first is, would you rather race 3.3 miles or 33 miles?
this is the easiest question. 3.3 miles. I don't want to race 33 miles. I can barely get through 10 miles of an easy run.
Okay, we'll move on to the next since that was easy. When did you run your first race?
12 years old.
And how?
Early as a spring chicken.
I'm just envisioning like a chicken running her. Anyway.
Wait, also there was a guy who ran London in a chicken outfit.
That's iconic.
I kind of like that's kind of yeah. That's a goal.
I like that for you.
Yeah.
How many pairs of running shoes do you have?
Oh gosh. Hundreds. Hundreds. I can't count them. I kicked Sam out of my closet, out of our coat closet. He has to find another place for his coats and his shoes. I have the entire closet. There's no space.
This is why Vicky's like, we moved to Jersey City so we could get more room and Kofi can have...
Manhattan.
No, it's all like Kofi can have a backyard, but I think we just learned the real reason. It's to accommodate all your running shoes.
I hope so.
All right. So last one, Vicky, what's your favorite post long run meal?
Favorite post long run meal. It's got to be two different ones because it really depends on the mood that I'm in. There's one mood when I'm into like salty, savory, in which case it is very much an Italian sandwich. I'm a big fan of like the salami deli meats with some nice olive oil, vinegar, salt, pepper, the works. That's my favorite when I'm craving like salt, probably because I didn't have enough electrolytes. And then sometimes I crave sweet, and in that case, it would be pancakes or like waffles or that type of stuff.
Love it.
How about you? Just so we know, we end with Treg answering a question.
Yeah, and my answer is a lot less exciting. I was so eager to tell you how boring my answer is relative to what yours is. But for me, it's basically, I'll call it second breakfast because it's what I eat for breakfast on like any normal day, but I don't like to eat it before I run. I eat something else before a run. Like I'll eat like a roll with banana and some butter or like a Bobo's PB&J bar. So yeah. Good. But when I come home, I eat this normal breakfast, which for me is oatmeal, protein powder, blueberries, banana, sun butter and chia seeds. And yeah, I eat that literally every day. So even if I am like going to brunch with people after my run, like say I get home at 9, like I'll eat that. And then 2 hours later, roll up to brunch. But I mean, it's important to eat right after you run anyway. But like that, you know, but like I won't have something else. Yeah. Like that's what I will have in the interim.
Second breakfast is a slay, by the way. That needs to be a thing, like second breakfast, like.
Well, I feel like Lord of the Rings popularized it for sure.
I don't.
Oh my god!
Even though I've seen all the movies.
It's popularized in the movies too.
Oh my god! Do I need to do another Lord of the Rings? To be fair, I've only done Harry Potter marathons and not Lord of the Rings marathons. Like I watched Lord of the Rings movies when I was
To be fair, each Lord of the Rings film is longer than each Harry Potter movie.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Literally, The Return of the King is 4 hours.
Was it like three?
4 hours, 13 minutes. It's a literal marathon.
I don't have that attention span.
The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers is a sub-3 marathon. It's 2 hours, 59 minutes. Okay, I digress. But yeah, so even like if I'm traveling, I'll bring that like in little baggies with me. I'm sure TSA is like, what is this? They've definitely seen weirder things though, but yeah.
Oh, 100%. I follow them on Instagram and they post.
They are a great follow.
That whoever is doing their social media needs
10 out of 10
immediately. Anyways, and with that, I think we'll conclude today's episode. As we mentioned before, we did not get through all of the questions that you guys asked us, but the good news is we will be back next week. We're excited to keep connecting with you guys and keep giving you guys this podcast. So we'll see you then. Thanks
and
for joining us.
And maybe by then we'll choose some music, but not yet. We need it.
Maybe.
But we're really like just jumping in, and we need to take time to figure out what vibes, you know?
Yeah, we're slowly getting more legit.
Anyway.
But not really.
All right.
Anyway.
Bye.
Okay, bye.